year, I'd been doing a Torah. My messages through the Torah passages linked to the Besorah, the good news, from the Brit HaChadashah, the New Covenant passages, Matthew to Revelation. And it was exciting to explore the words of Messiah, the writings of Rav Shaul, Rabbi Paul, in bringing them to you as we learned and grew together. This year, I've decided to mostly, maybe not always, but mostly flow out of the Torah portion. And we've done that for the last 3 or 4 weeks now. And so this week is no different. I actually have some thoughts, not only from this Torah portion, but how they link to a previous Torah portion and even future Torah portions. Let me start by asking, what is it in our life that we can pray about? What kinds of things can we pray about?
Everything.
Okay, good answer. Everything. And I thought of, that was the answer I was looking for, actually. There are no wrong answers, but Philippians 4 says, in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving. You are to be anxious about nothing, but in everything, pray. It's kind of a cue from Rav Shaul about how to deal with anxiety, by the way. 0 for anxiety and 100% for prayer. In everything, pray. I remember when I was maybe in high school or college, I'd gotten, I don't know how, it seems weird, but somehow at the moment I had the idea that, well, God gives us understanding and wisdom as we grow in Him. He's filled us with His Spirit. He leads us and guides us. He also gives us good common sense. And so, you know, some things maybe, you know, you don't have to pray about everything, you know, because God's, after all, done these things. He's given us His Spirit and He leads us. And of all people, my darling sister corrected me, and later, a number of years later, when I presented in discussion with her a very different perspective, she actually brought up that story. She said, "You know, one time you told me that, you know, God doesn't need to hear about your little everyday stuff." But I've changed my mind. I've grown in my understanding since I was 21. God wants to know about everything in your life. God is willing to hear about everything in your life. Yes, God knows, but that's some theological abstraction. When the rubber meets the road, it's that God needs to hear from us. To say it another way, we need to hear ourselves expressing it to God. And I believe it is appropriate to pray over and over, if that's what it takes, to immerse ourselves in prayer. At one point in the Psalms, the psalmist says, "Ani tefillah, ani tefillah, I am prayer." It doesn't even say, "I am one who prays," using like a participle. "I am a prayer," using a participle form of the verb. He actually doesn't use the verb. He uses the noun, "I am prayer." Identifying himself in that tight-knit connection with the idea of prayer. That's always struck me, and I've mentioned that before. I am prayer. That's what I strive to be. That when I think of God, out of my lips, oh God, you are my God. I will seek you early in the morning. I will seek you earnestly. Just when the thought of the Most High comes to the mind of David, and just God's name comes to his mind, oh God. And then he's like, okay, so how do I continue this thought? Okay, you are my God. Oh God, you are my God. I seek you wholeheartedly. I seek you early in the morning. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. There's another psalm that begins by the poet just mentioning God's name at the beginning and then flowing out of that. Do you ever find yourself at times going, God, you know, either in thanksgiving or in frustration, it's okay. You're not taking God's name in vain. You're crying out. It's a little mini prayer, invoking God's presence at every juncture, at every moment in our lives. Not that I am there. Not that I've attained. I've at times thought that of a variety of spiritual things in my life, prayer is one that I recognize I need more of. I want more of, and I'm not there. I want to grow, and my desire is to even encourage myself to grow in prayer. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were guys who knew how to pray. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the impact of Abraham in our lives, the significance of Abraham in our lives, and what Abraham's life still accomplishes for us today. I was really excited to discover and unpack some of those things as I learned a lot that week. One of the things I didn't mention in that context is that Abraham was a man of prayer. Isaac was a guy who knew what it was to spend time in the presence before the face of the Most High. In this week's Torah portion, in chapter 24 of Genesis, when it's in that scene when Eliezer, Abraham's chief servant, is coming home with Rebekah. She's riding on the camels, and they on their journey home. They look up and there's a guy out there wandering around in the field. He's not lost. He's actually, we're told, he's out there praying. This is kind of the humorous part. It says that when Rebecca sees him, she literally falls off her camel. So that's what it says. And I remember praying at times when I was single, you know, oh God, for a woman who would fall off a camel when she saw me. So I know it's mischievous, but it's interesting she's so overcome when she first sees Isaac. It's kind of amazing. But what is Isaac doing out there in that field? The scripture says that he is out there meditating with God. Genesis chapter 24, at the very end, verses 62 and 63. Isaac has gone to a particular place in order to spend time with God. He goes to Be'er Lachai Ro'i. Be'er Lachai Ro'i is actually a place that we've encountered elsewhere in Scripture. Back in chapter 16, it was a place that Hagar went out to, was actually kind of temporarily kicked out of the house, and she's out there, but God sees her, understands where she's at, and comes, appears to her, and provides for her. It expresses concern for Hagar. And she names that place Be'er Lachai Ro'i, the well of the living one who sees me. The well of the living one who sees me. And there, God gives nourishment, sustenance, and provision for Hagar. And it's at that very place where in years later, 50 years later, because at this point, Isaac is 40 years old in Genesis 24, Isaac chooses to go pray in this same place where God encountered Hagar. I think it's amazing that it is there in that place that he chooses to go pray. And he's 40 years old. He's out there alone in the late afternoon praying. Earlier in Genesis, we're told in chapter 19 that Abraham prayed in the early morning. Abraham went out to pray with the Most High. But here, Isaac is praying in the late afternoon. Evidently, Isaac wasn't a morning person. Dad, Abraham, was an early morning guy, would go out and pray. Isaac's a midday kind of guy, and he's feeling good by afternoon. He's out there meditating with the Most High. What does it mean to meditate? Unfortunately, Eastern tradition and religion has made meditation a bad word. But literally, the idea of meditating, Todah Rabah, the idea of meditating in Scripture literally means to speak a word, to make a sound. Meditating is not something you just do in your head. It's not sitting in some particular position. Meditating is something that you... Well, at one point in Scripture, the one verb for meditating is used for the roar of a lion. Now, that's not quiet, and that's not, you know, small, tiny, and minor. It means to speak, to mutter, to make a sound. So my question would be, when you're walking around your house, or when you're at the grocery store, when you're at work, those little things you say under your breath, that's meditating. What are you meditating on? Those little things you say, even out loud, when you're driving down the road, that's meditating. What is it that you meditate about? You get the idea. Sometimes our meditation is not necessarily on God. It's frustration, contemplation, complaining. I do some of that. That's not what we are to meditate on. Philippians 4 says, whatever is good, lovely, peaceable, praiseworthy, these are the things that we are to meditate on. These are the things that we are to find rolling around in our mind and pouring out of our lips under our breath. Isaac was out there, he was meditating, but his thoughts were on the Most High. It kind of reminds me of Yeshua in Mark chapter 1. Yeshua had been having profitable success, healing, serving, healing people. But it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, in the very middle of that, very early, while it was still dark, Yeshua got up, left the house, went away to a spot in the field where he could pray. He was an early morning guy like Abraham. Yeshua got up, left, went out to a place in order to pray. Yeshua understood the importance of in a heart driven for prayer for the Most High. That communication. Yeshua said elsewhere, I only do the will of the one who sent me. In fact, he says, I even only speak the words that he has given me. How did Yeshua know that? Yeshua spent time contemplating, praying, spending time in the presence of the Most High. Isaac's out there in the field praying. You know, his dad had sent Eliezer, the servant, off to find him a wife. But is Isaac sitting around stressing about, I wonder what Eliezer will bring back? I wish Skype existed right now so I could, you know, see what she looks like while she's still there in Haran, so I could veto, you know. Is he stressed out about what Eliezer is going to bring back? Is he even trying to manipulate what Eliezer is going to bring back? Of course he's not. He's there at the well of the living one who sees me, that place that Hagar had named. And there he's spending time in God's presence. Prayer prepares him to receive what God is bringing, what God has already put together. But Isaac is willing to spend time in God's presence. How are we prepared for these things? How do we get ready for what God has for us? It is done by investment in prayer. Prayer is not something we do on the fly. It's not something we should do second-handedly. It should be the first thing we think of. It should be the first thing we do. Not to plan and then pray, but to pray and then plan. After all, we have all kinds of thoughts and plans and desires in our own head, but only what God purposes will succeed. Do we have God's path? We discover that in prayer. Isaac out there talking to himself with the Most High. What a beautiful picture. By the way, that's the very first thing in all of Scripture that we're told that Isaac does independently by himself. Remember a couple chapters earlier, you know, his dad nearly sacrifices him and so forth. But here we have the first thing that Isaac does of his own accord, of his own choosing, of his own volition. A story of Isaac, just Isaac, without dad, And what is that story? It's a story of prayer. First thing, independent story in Scripture of Isaac acting alone is an image of prayer. What an awesome place for Isaac to start his life, to grow from, to grow into more and more in prayer. In last week's Torah portion, in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham, Isaac's dad, encounters a number of problems. The local governor, the local leader, his title is Avimelech. Abe is a little drawn to Sarah. She's a woman of that trusts God, that has faith in God. We're told in Proverbs 31 that kind of person is attractive. So Avimelech is attracted to Sarah, wants to bring her into his harem. But suddenly, people are starting to get sick in the palace. And we're told that God has closed up the orifices of their body, the openings of their body are closed up. They can't give birth. They can't relieve themselves. We're told that Abraham, once Avimelech figures out that Sarah is Abraham's wife, Abraham, Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, where it says, Abraham prayed to God. And God healed Avimelech and his wife and his servant girls so that they could bear children. Because the Lord had closed up the womb of all the wombs, every womb of the household of Avimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So there is the situation going on. It's basically what prevents Sarah from being becoming one of the ladies consorts for this Gentile leader. God closes up the wombs, but God receives prayer from Abraham for these people that aren't Hebrews. There were no Jews exactly at that point. For these pagans, Abraham prays to God and God heals them. God had closed up their wombs, the wombs of Avimelech's wife and his household and the servant, even to the servant girls. But Abraham then goes to God and says, God, reverse this thing that you've done. God, heal the wombs of these women. And we're told that God did so. You know what? Isaac hadn't been born yet. God hadn't opened Sarah's womb yet. Isaac's not born until chapter 21. Isaac's praying that these women would be able to bear children when his own wife hadn't yet had a child, as God had promised and been promising for at least 24 years at that point. Abraham is able to pray for somebody else, for a blessing, for a healing, for somebody else, that he hadn't even had yet. Now, to me, that's a dramatic heart for prayer. Am I able to pray for somebody else in ways that God hasn't fully accomplished in my own life? I really admire how Abraham could do this. Maybe it's because he could bring himself to do this that the very next thing we read at the beginning of chapter 21, the very next sentence says, "And God remembered Sarah and enabled Sarah to conceive and have a son." In Jewish literature, we're told, based on this idea, that the blessings that we pray for someone else will be the ones that God will then give to us. Blessings in our lives, in other words, are generated by how we pray for others. Do you catch that relationship? Blessings, walking in the power, the blessings, the life of the Almighty is tied to how we implore God to provide those things, not first for ourselves, but for someone else. Do you see the amazing life that comes in prayer? The word for prayer in one of the most common verbs for prayer, to pray, in Hebrew is hitpalel. Hitpalel is a verb that is actually in the reflexive, and it means to judge. A little grammar lesson to remind us of, you know, fifth grade or seventh grade or something. The reflexive form of the verb is the form of the verb where the action is not done by the subject, but to the subject. Let me give you an example. Joe hit the ball in honor of the end of the World Series this week, where my hometown team won the World Series. I didn't see a single game, but, you know, I still rooted. Go Royals. Joe hit the ball is a active subject and verb. Joe hit. If the verb is reflexive, the action is not done by the subject, but to the subject. That is, Joe hit himself. That's a reflexive verb, where the action is done back to the subject of the verb. Joe hit himself is a reflexive verb. For the idea of prayer, then, it is a reflexive verb that means to judge. That is, when you pray, you are judging yourself. To pray is to judge oneself. Isn't that interesting? The idea that then to pray is to dig down into our spirit and to uncover what is really there. It's as if when we pray, we are discovering our attitudes, our actions that are motivated by our attitudes. When we pray, we're discovering what our emotions really are, and we're then able to judge them. Are those correct? Is that attitude appropriate? To pray is to judge oneself. That is, when you pray, it's not merely to change circumstances, but to change ourselves. Prayer is don't forget then that prayer is a desire to change ourselves, to judge ourselves, to bring ourselves into conformity with the image of Messiah. To base ourselves according to God's standard, and to conform ourselves to that. Abraham prayed, therefore, for the household of Avimelech. And what Abraham discovered then, because the verb there in chapter 21, verse 17, is this to judge oneself reflexive verb for prayer. Abraham, or God, discovers that in Abraham there is not a seed of jealousy. There's not a seed of greed. When Abraham prays that Avimelech's wife can conceive and bear children, there's not a hint in Abraham's spirit, and God, I wish it was really me. I'm really not praying for him. I'm really praying for myself. As Abraham prays and his spirit and attitudes are judged and examined, God recognizes that Abraham's heart is honest. There's no jealousy and greed in his prayer. As a result, God produces the blessing that he had been promising for so many years to Sarah. There's one more example of prayer that I want to highlight from the lives of the patriarchs. It's from next week's Torah portion, reading ahead, where you would start tomorrow, in the Torah portion called Toldot, the generations of, the account of Isaac. And the first story that you will read in next week's Torah portion is, you guessed it, a story about prayer. Isaac and Rebekah have been married 20 years now. See how the Torah just can jump years and jump ahead to a particular incident that God wants to highlight for us. It jumps ahead. Isaac is now 60 years old, and Rivka hasn't had any children. It's a theme that runs from four generations of women through the Torah portion. This theme of barrenness, as if the promises won't blossom and bear fruit. And so we're told in the very beginning of next week's Torah portion in Genesis chapter 25 that Isaac entreats and prays to the Lord. It's a different verb. It's not the one that means to judge oneself. It's a different verb that means to pray, to cry out to entreat, to petition. Isaac petitioned the Most High on behalf of his wife Rivka. Isaac petitioned God for his barren wife, Rebekah, that she would have children, that she would have a son. And then this amazing phrase, And God allowed himself to be petitioned. God allowed himself, using the same verb, Isaac petitioned and God was petitioned. God, it's a way of saying, in one of my Bible versions, it just simply says God answered. But the verb is the same. I think it's interesting that the verb is the same. What Isaac did, God in likewise manner responded. Isaac asked, petitioned, and God was, allowed himself to be petitioned. And Rivka became pregnant. By the way, just didn't have one son, had two sons. Double blessing. You'll have to read on ahead to find out how that plays out for Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac prayed. It's not the reflexive judge yourself prayer. It's the petition prayer. So not only then does prayer change us, judge ourselves, uncover our root attitudes and motivations and desires. But yes, prayer does, in fact, change things. Isaac petitioned and God gave because God allowed himself to be entreated by Isaac. What Isaac prayed, Isaac received. Yes, prayer changes us, but don't get that out of balance and think that it's more that than the other. Prayer not only changes us and our community and our family, God, our prayer also changes circumstances. Prayer elsewhere in Scripture even changes God's heart and perspective on something. I highlighted one of those a couple weeks ago in a prayer that Moses made. Prayer is fundamental to our lives. What can you pray about? At the beginning, Peggy was right when she said, you can pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which blows your mind and is bigger than your heart can conceive, will guard your hearts and minds in Messiah Yeshua. The peace of God is the result of praying about everything. In everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts. How do you have peace from God? How do you have his shalom, his wholeness, his completeness? It's through prayer. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were men of prayer who understood that prayer can judge our attitudes and our thoughts, who understood that meditation prepares us for the gifts that we will be receiving, like Isaac receiving his wife. Prayer also changes circumstances. I challenge you this week, I challenge myself this week, walk in deeper prayer. And if you struggle, if I mess up, if I find myself in a circumstance that I've not offered to God in prayer, it's okay. We're disciples. That means we're learning. That's what a student does. Teacher doesn't expect the student to know everything at any time other than at the end of the course. when the final is given. So we're learning, we're growing, we're walking, we're training. Being a disciple is not trying, it's training. So you don't have to try to pray, you train yourself in prayer. And we grow together to understand with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob just how powerful prayer really is.